Let's have a prayer together. Father God, we do ask that you now speak to us from these words of Scripture. Open our hearts and minds so that we can hear your voice clearly without distraction. Amen. Well, please do sit down. Well, my title for this morning's talk is What Does It Mean to Be Called? If you look on the service card, that's what we have planned for this morning. And my original idea was that we could think about all the different calls that God may place on our lives. Because as Christians, God often calls us to a unique task or purpose or vocation. So take, for example, something I was reading in Christianity magazine the other day. It was telling me about a man who felt drawn to Cape Town in South Africa. He felt drawn to work with the drug addicts and the poor in a particular district there. That's a specific call to that person. We're not all called to do that. Or take Darren. Darren is somebody I've got to know over the last year. He works, I know him from the Who Cares team that I'm on in Bury St Edmunds. But Darren works for Christians Against Poverty. Again, that's a specific calling to him. He wants to help people. He's been called by God to help people get out of debt. And then, of course, there's the call to ordained ministry. Very appropriate, seeing as Ernest was ordained yesterday. That's the odd call to become a vicar, in other words. Not for everyone. But what all these specific calls have in common, as well as to serve God, of course, is a desire to see a better world. And we really need to see a better world as we look around us at the moment, don't we? And what we find is that when we pray to God, "Thy kingdom come," we often feel that the answer is that God is calling us to do something specific to make a difference in the world. Well, that was my original intention for this morning, to think about some of these specific calls from God. However, as I've been thinking about all the terrible events of the past few weeks and months, I thought maybe we just need to step back and think about the one common call we all have. That is the call that God places on all of our lives to seek him out, to seek forgiveness, to turn from things that are bad, to turn to him, to receive mercy and eternal life. And I do think this is such an important thing we need to hear at the moment, because we are going through such a dark period, aren't we? Barely a week goes past without seeing yet another terrorist attack or an awful tragedy. 3 terrorist attacks in the UK recently. The Westminster Bridge one, the Manchester concert, London Bridge. Then we've seen that dreadful fire in the Tower Block in London. About 80 dead, is it, so far? Not to mention the loss of homes and possessions. There's a forest fire in Portugal that's killed scores. And I woke up this morning and I looked at the BBC website only to find that there's over 100 dead in Pakistan where an oil tanker has exploded. There are still hundreds of refugees drowning each month in the Mediterranean. All these things, though, you see, are a reminder that our lives are very fragile. It's as if we just kind of live on a kind of a very thin thread of life. Our lives are fragile and we live them out in a dark and dangerous world. And we like to kid ourselves that we're in control of our lives when in fact, well, we're not. And also politically, we're living in uncertain times. So we've got a hung parliament. There's the uncertainty with Brexit. Economic uncertainty. I do think, though, that one good thing comes out of all of this, which is we start to realise that we're not in control and we need to seek God's face. And I think God often uses the mess we find ourselves in to start seeking him out. He uses the mess we find ourselves in to call us to himself. And we hear that call very clearly in the opening verses of our first Bible reading this morning. Remember what they were? "Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat." Or verse 3, "Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul will live." Now, these verses were originally written to Jewish people who, like us, were going through dark and uncertain times. Actually, it was far worse for them. They'd been invaded by a foreign power. And it wasn't just that they were occupied. Most of them had been taken away from their homeland and resettled in Babylon. So they were oppressed and they weren't even in their homeland. It was a dark period in their history, full of fear and uncertainty. They realised that their lives were not under their own control. And into that mess came God's voice of hope. For in him alone can there be any prospect of salvation or any hope of satisfaction for their souls. And these words of scripture were written then for those Jewish people, but each generation afresh finds that it is appropriate to them. In God alone is there any hope. And we see it here, don't we? Come all you who are thirsty. There is God's call. It's been very hot recently. I'm sure we've noticed. I don't know about you, but I get very thirsty when it gets hot. I drink gallons of water. And then what happened last Sunday evening? Anybody else notice? I'm sure you did. We went on to turn on our taps. Nothing. Just a bit of air. And if you're like me, you felt a mild sensation of panic as nothing came out. Then the guilt came. What about all those millions who don't get any water or have any taps at all across the world? But that moment of panic, the prospect of thirst was a scary one. The prospect of no water. But here we're not actually talking about H2O. We're talking about a different kind of thirst. A thirst to be relieved from the despair and the darkness and the evil of this world. And not just the world, but the mess we make in our own lives. So I'm going to ask a question. Do you feel thirsty at the moment? Do you hunger for things in our society to get better? Do you thirst for a society where people respect each other, where acts of terrorism no longer happen? Or do you seek satisfaction for the empty hole you find in your own life? Well, I hope these verses speak to you, because this is God's call. And it's God's call to all of us. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what we've done. We heard in our reading from John chapter 4 that the call went out to a Samaritan woman. An interesting character, but Jesus still offered her living water to quench her spiritual thirst. And many of us would have looked at this woman and just written her off. Our reading stops short of what happens next, which is that we discover, and Jesus knows, that she has had 5 husbands so far, and the man that she is now with is not her husband. She was looking for satisfaction in men. Well, it's even more astonishing that Jesus spoke to her. He was brought up as a good Jewish boy, and any good Jewish boy would have been told, look, you don't go consorting with those despised Samaritans. Especially a woman. Especially a woman of dubious character. The Samaritans were looked down upon as inferior. And as for a Samaritan woman, with her reputation, well. But Jesus, no. The call of Jesus went out to her. He is full of compassion to everyone. And the point being is that the call of Jesus Christ is for every kind of person. And it doesn't matter who we are or what we've done. It doesn't matter if you come from England or Poland or Pakistan or Nigeria. Jesus wants every person, irrespective of who they are, irrespective of where they were born or how they were brought up or their race, to respond to his call. And it doesn't matter what career we do. We heard last year John Dunnett preaching from CPS. He was marvellous, and he reminded us of the 1904 Welsh revival. The most unlikely people hearing the call of God on their lives. All these Welsh miners coming out of the mines and going to church instead of the pub. But it wasn't just the miners. Churches started to be packed full of farmers, school teachers, older men, younger women, children, all being affected by a fresh call of God on their lives. And the change in the community, if you remember, was amazing. The police had no work to do. They started forming singing quartets instead. The thing about the Samaritan woman is that she might have thought that she was too far gone, but Jesus did not think that. Last Sunday evening at Cypher, our youth group, we watched a video about a man called Brian Russ, and he thought he was too far gone. Very powerful testimony. He had an awful childhood. His parents had argued a lot, often violently. The violence spilled out onto the children. He was sexually abused as a teenager. And he became a tough nut. He became a gang leader, and he wanted to be the toughest character in town. One day he had a run-in with a chap called Glover. Things escalated. Eventually Brian tried to kill Glover, and he was jailed for attempted murder. And in prison his hatred grew and grew. It ate into him, and he could think of nothing except getting out to murder Glover. Well, to cut a long story short, Brian eventually became a Christian, and he heard the call of Jesus on his life. He responded. And in many ways, verse 7 of Isaiah 55 sums up his experience. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Brian came to know full forgiveness from God. He knew the compassion of Jesus in his life. He was now full of this living water, welling up to eternal life. But he realized he had to change. He had to turn from his wicked ways. And it was put to the test after he was out of prison. He's walking through the countryside one day. No one else is there at all except one person he encounters, Glover. Glover is trembling, fearing for his life. And yet, this feeling of love and compassion comes out of Brian. And he just steps forward saying, I'm not going to hurt you. Things are different now. And he shares with him what Jesus has done for him. Complete forgiveness and a changed life. So Jesus' call is for everyone. Doesn't matter what we might have done. But when we respond to the call of Jesus, we do need to turn from our wicked ways. And if we're to be forgiven, we need to show that love and compassion, that mercy to others. So as I say, that is what it means to have God's touch upon our lives. And when we pray, Thy kingdom come, it will start with us. But I do believe that the only hope we have for our society is that more people come to know Jesus. Because only as more people come to know Jesus can their individual hearts be changed. And only when the heart is changed, collectively, can we begin to make a better society. So the call of God reaches out to each and every one of us. Whoever you may be sitting here today, the call is for you. But we need to hear the voice of God calling to us. Verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 55, God says, give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. See what the Lord God is saying there? The Lord God of the universe is saying, listen. Give ear and come to me. Don't block up your ears. It's so easy for us to do that. But God says, pay attention. This is important stuff. It's life-changing stuff. Listen to my voice today. I am calling you. It's easy to ignore God's voice, to ignore his call, because we think we can find satisfaction or answers elsewhere. But look at what verse 2 says in Isaiah 55. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul will live. Can you see what is being said there? The problem with us human beings is we're a bit stupid, really. We seek satisfaction in all the wrong places. And verse 2 here is a parable. If we're hungry, what are we going to do? We're going to go out and buy food. We'd be daft to go out and buy something that's not food if we're hungry. And yet we do that spiritually all the time. The only way our spiritual thirst and hunger can be satisfied is in Jesus. He really is our only hope. But we keep on looking in the wrong places. We seek satisfaction in wealth. But wealth is a wicked master. It promises us so much and then just lets us down. I've come across many wealthy people in my life and they're not actually any happier than people with no money. In fact, they seem to be worse off as that wealth enslaves them because they're seeking satisfaction in the wrong place. I could tell you about my friend Paul at university. Paul was a lovely chap, well brought up, public school and all that, but he was a bit of a hedonist, always chasing after the latest party or the latest sexual encounter, trying to satisfy that deep hunger inside him. And I do remember when I started work in London, meeting up with him one lunchtime, and I said, "Look, there's a good band playing tonight. Fancy coming?" "Not really enough fun," he said. And then some friends of his joined us, and they were a riotous lot. "We're going out to a restaurant tonight," and immediately Paul's eyes lit up. "You must come with this lot, Peter. There, sir, they're a laugh. They're always being thrown out of restaurants and creating a riot." I thought, you're seeking satisfaction in the wrong place. The difference here is that in God we can be satisfied. Listen to me, eat what is good and your soul will delight in the richest affair. "Give ear and come to me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love," promised to David. That faithful love brings true satisfaction. So as we close, I ask again, are you thirsty? Do you long for a better society? Or do you just long for inner fulfillment? It's promised here. It's what Jesus promised that Samaritan woman, living water that welled up to eternal life. And just as we close, that is our other great problem, isn't it? We all face death. But the living water that Jesus gives us wells up to eternal life, so we do not have to face the fear of death. We can know eternity with God. "Hear me, that your soul may live," says Isaiah 55. "Drink the water that leads to eternal life," says Jesus. This is the call of God, and he wants us to hear him. So we finish with verse 6. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." He wants us to have true satisfaction for our souls. He wants us to have life. Good life now and then life that goes on forever. Where all that is dark is banished forever. And this is the great message of hope we need to hear in these dark days. It's the call of God. Can you hear him calling you? Well, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that in Jesus we can know forgiveness of all that we've done wrong. That we can come to an inner peace and satisfaction and fulfillment for our souls. And that as changed people, we can go out and make a difference in this world. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," it begins with us. Open our ears, Lord, that we might hear your call and enable us to respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a reminder that if you would like prayer for anything at all after the service, just in here in the chapel area, there'll be a couple of people who will be delighted to pray with you.